Good afternoon and welcome inside the Hoop Talks podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Robson, alongside Sean Woodley. Sean, how you doing today?
I'm great, man. I'm really excited to get this podcast going. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. NBA season starts in 5 days, as we know. Getting excited. The weather's getting cold, actually. I'm sitting here with my hood up doing this.
Love it. It's the best. It's a little cozy action. Like yesterday, like blustery winds. I'm glad we started this off with weather talk of all things. This is a good start to the podcast.
It's the ultimate small talk to draw people in. Why else would you listen to this podcast if not for weather updates? We can talk traffic next.
Yeah, because that'll be up to date for this thing that we're recording and then releasing at a later time. Yeah,
the Gardner's blocked off and the Don Valley has major delays. I think that's really all you need.
You know what I found? I mean, I'm not sure if people just only in Toronto are going to be listening to this podcast. Hopefully not. Hopefully we get more listeners. But like, I found on the weekend that the Don Valley Parkway is actually a wonderful place to drive when there's no traffic on like one of two days. Like, there's like 2 days a year where you can do it, but it's like, it's a nice, like, scenic, fun drive.
So you just treat that like the Autobahn when
Pretty
there's
much.
Nobody there and you're just flying.
Yeah, I was coming home on Thanksgiving from my place in Oshawa to go to Hamilton, and then like cut down through the DVP, and it was a lovely drive. That's people are already tuning out. I'm so happy.
never commute. Now let's listen to this segue. Speaking of flying, next Tuesday the Celtics will fly into Cleveland as the NBA season kicks off, and we're gonna get to some preview content today, aren't we, Sean?
Oh my God, I'm so excited! I put
That's
way too much work into this.
Segue right there.
This is more excitement. Sorry, more preparation than I've done for any podcast in a long time. So,
wow, and I've done zero.
You've done zero? Okay, well, I got you covered then. It's all good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Do you want to let the people know what exactly we're going to be doing for this preview podcast? I mean, I like to think of it as an amalgamation of all the different tropes you see in typical NBA preview podcasting and content, and I think we've kind of put them all together into one. Want to let people know what we're doing here?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's sort of the bastard child of NBA content that we've put on this podcast. So what we're going to do for you folks is, we all know you live like us, sitting in your living room any night of the week, couple beers in hand, Chuck League Pass on. Now, which game are you going to watch? There's so many options. We're going to give you our choices of how many times we're watching each team this season, so you know exactly what to tune in for.
Yeah, it's I've kind of gone through, I probably put way too much thinking into this and probably got the math wrong, so it doesn't make any sense anyway, and it won't check out at the end of the day. But so I went through and I kind of tried to calculate how many games that personally I would watch over the course of a year, and also kind of sort of guess. Well, I think one thing people are going to learn on this podcast is that Mitch has a lot more time than I do as a university student versus me being not a university student, which isn't a bad thing. It's just I miss those days where I could just sit and watch sports all day. And
that's pretty wonderful, let me tell you.
Multi-screen setups. You know, now there's I got to like cook dinner and stuff and clean, and that takes up time. And covering Raptors games also is pretty time-consuming too. But
nice little humble brag you chucked in there at the
Yeah,
end.
Yeah.
The people
yeah.
will love that.
Yeah, absolutely. So... so I tried to decide, like, I've separated all the teams in the league into tiers. I'm not including the Raptors because we cover the Raptors. We watch pretty much every Raptors game, I think. Not to speak for Mitch, but I know I do. And so I'm not going to include them in this. This is mostly teams that you're going to watch outside of the Raptors if you're a Raptors fan. And if not, you can throw the Raptors in wherever you want, to one of these tiers if you want as well. So how I did it was I kind of estimated how many games I would like to watch of these teams, and then I kind of beefed up the over-unders a little bit, just based on me probably watching less than what Mitch is going to watch, so I tried to find a happy medium. And what I came up with was an over-under of about 205 games that you're going to watch throughout the course of the regular season. About, I guess, 204 and a half, I guess, is where I'm at. I just kind of added up all the different over-unders I came up with, and that's the number I came out with. And I think this is kind of reasonable. I mean, we love the NBA. We watch a lot of the NBA. There's 176 days of a regular season. About 169 of those have basketball on them. If you're canceling out the All-Star break, it's like a week long, and then you have like Boxing Day, I guess, or no, Christmas Eve is when they don't play. There's games pretty much every other day of the season. So if you average out 169 days of watching basketball and you watch just over one a day, I think that the 204 and a half kind of is a fair over-under. Would you agree?
I mean, I just kind of blacked out right there. You gave me a lot of numbers. I'm going to just roll and trust your judgment on this with your Carleton journalism degree.
Yeah, yeah, where we actually had to take a math. Oh, it was like a math quiz we had in journalism class one time where everyone failed. It was
At least at Ryerson, they don't make us go through the charade of trying to learn something else.
All right, so let's get to this here. So here's how I set it up. I've split the league up into six different tiers, and we'll just go through each tier at a time. And I set the over-under, aside from one category, which I'll get to in a sec, where there's different over-unders, I set the over-under the same for all the teams in each tier, and I guess we can kind of go off of that. Does that make sense to you?
Sure, let's roll.
So the first category is unwatchable piss. there are a total of 5 teams in this bracket, and I set the over-under for these 5 teams at 2.5 games watched. And I guess the criteria here's my criteria for games watched. It's not, like, you'll tune into the fourth quarter of a random game between two bad teams if it's close. Like, that's fine. My thinking is, like, games you're going to sit down and watch start to finish and, like, absorb. That's kind of my thinking here, and not the things that you're catching little clips of or watching condensed games of. Like, that's how I kind of fill in the gaps, is watching clips and the condensed games on League Pass and stuff like that. These are games that, between League Pass and national TV, are going to be games that, like, teams that you're going to watch and like sort of sit down as appointment viewing kind of thing. So there are 5 teams: the Bulls, the Hawks, the Magic, the Pacers, and the Pistons. All Eastern Conference teams, because the East is ass. And so let's start here. So let's start with the Bulls. Again, 2.5 is the over-under for games I'm going to, like, actively seek out to watch this season. And I said I would watch 1, so I took the under. What do you got?
2.5, eh? Okay. Well, I mean, I can think I'll probably watch the Bulls. I'm going to have to take the over. Because you're gonna want to watch Jimmy Butler's return game automatically.
Okay.
The Raps play them on opening night, so that's
I should clarify. I didn't include games against the Raptors in this, so that's because again we're Raptors people, we cover the team, and like, so I'm just going strictly League Pass, and so the way I did it was like I doubled the number of games I'm going to watch to get my total number of game, like, teams, the times I've watched the teams. The math is stupid. Anyway, it sort of makes sense, maybe. I have no idea. But yeah, so the Bulls, like, I'm expecting to watch like 5 Bulls games this year, but 3 or 4 of them I guess will be Raptors games, is my thinking.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah. Well, if it's 2.5, then I might just take that. I'll take a very soft over, probably at 3. With the Butler return game, you're going to have a game where they win a TNT Thursday nighter against the Cavs, because that's just science of the NBA. Like, we saw it, was it a couple nights ago when they beat the Cavs full starting rotation in that preseason game? Mm-hmm. And then once Zach LaVine's back, he's going to have a night where he drops 45 or 50. So I'm going to have to chuck that on, too.
Yeah, I just don't see myself wanting to put myself through watching the Bulls. I've kind of streamlined the last couple of years as I've had less time to watch just any game, to where I just kind of pick teams that I'm just going to actively try to avoid. And the Bulls are one of those teams, I think, this year. Like, I just have no desire to watch Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen do nothing of note. That's kind of where I'm at. So I'm taking the under there. Moving on to the Atlanta Hawks. Again, 2.5 is the over-under for this category of unwatchable piss. And I'm taking the under as well. I said 2.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with the under on that one, because now the arena is dark and boring. That's a major thing for me when I'm watching a game on League Pass, is what's the atmosphere like? How's
also,
the lighting?
Also, same problem the United Center has. The lights are dim, and it's not that, like, vibrant. I don't know. I'm not
totally
a huge
unless
fan
it's
of
an
watching Bulls games on TV.
Yeah, unless it's a national game, the lights inside United Center seem very dark when it's a WGN or CSN or what have you. Back to the Hawks. Without Dwight, there's no disaster potential there. It's just kind of a bunch of young guys. So, I mean, I might watch, like you said, a fourth quarter if they're close. But in terms of actually sitting down and watching a full game, that seems like a real big challenge to do. So I'm going to go under.
The only thing that might rope me in is Sir Foster, the organ guy. He's fun.
Oh, he does lay out some dope beats.
I just feel like... I think you're going to notice, too, I think a lot of the Eastern Conference teams are hurt in this, because, like, I probably skew more to watching West Coast games, not just because the West Coast teams are better, but because they're after Raptors games. So I'm kind of missing a lot of these bad Eastern Conference teams playing each other. We're going to get to a later segment in this podcast where we're going to talk about an opportunity for us to potentially watch these bad teams, but we'll get to that in a little bit, I suppose. But next up, You took the under on the Hawks, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay. Next up, the Orlando Magic. Again, 2.5 the over-under. I took the over at number six, at six, because my boy Terrence. But other than that, they're kind of uninspiring.
Ooh, this one's tough. Yeah, I mean, you are the ultimate Terrence Ross stan, so I would see you getting over 2.5 pretty easily. I mean, the Magic, one thing they have going for them is they have that 7 o'clock start time instead of the 7:30.
Yeah, they're always the first game on, yeah.
Yeah, so it's them and the Pacers and a couple other teams where I'll at least bide my time for the first quarter until the better games start. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about full game, I think maybe if we just combine first quarters for them, I'll get to over 2.5. But in terms of actually watching a full game, I kind of am sick of the Magic core, whatever you could call it, with Gordon, Payton. There's just nothing really there to inspire any excitement. I mean, Fournier is a guy.
But yeah, he is a guy.
They just have a lot of dudes.
Yeah, I think for me, if I'm watching the Magic, it's to watch Ross or to watch Jonathan Isaac. If he starts to do some cool stuff over the course of the season, he seems like he's going to be pretty fun. Other than that, though, yeah, you're kind of right. Like, I'm kind of sick. I want to see Aaron Gordon be good, but I'm kind of sick of him watching attempt to be good with the ball in his hands, because I just don't think he's going to be.
Yeah, and I'm not sure about Jonathan Isaac translating this year right away to the NBA game. I mean, he got drafted, I think, where he was because of that physical talent and the tools he's got. They're raw, but at Florida State last year, there were a lot of games where he would fade behind Bacon and Rathon Mace, so I don't know if he's quite ready for the shining lights yet.
Man, rookies are bad. I kind of feel like I go through this every year where I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch all the rookies in the first part of the season. And then I'm like, oh, well, they're all bad and their teams suck. And I've wasted my time watching these bad teams. So I'm going to try to avoid that this season. And like, I mean, it's a good rookie class. It's like an insane rookie of the year race, I think, this year. But overall,
put money on Dennis Smith right now.
Oh, we'll get to the Mavericks.
My guy.
Next up in the unwatchable piss bracket, the Pacers, 2.5, the over-under. I took a slight over at 3 just because I like Miles Turner, and I'll probably want to tune in to watch Corey Joseph be the best point guard on that team at some point. But other than that, the Pacers are I think they're the epitome of boring.
Yeah, I mean, and it really depends on what Lance does this year. I mean, if Lance has a couple stories about him and pops off and gets in a fight, then I'll definitely be watching the game. But I think I'm going to have to go with the under. I mean, there's just really it's another one of those arenas where it's bad on local TV. Even though the jerseys, I like the new jerseys. I've seen a lot of people hating on the circular fonts.
Oh, they're really good.
I'm kind of a fan of it.
Yeah, I love those.
Yeah. So in terms of that, I think there's other teams in the East I'd rather watch at 7 o'clock than Indiana. Mm-hmm. And Oladipo really doesn't do anything for me unless he's singing.
Okay, moving on to the final team in the unwatchable piss bracket. This might be the most unwatchable piss. This is the Detroit Pistons. If there's a team this season where I'm happy if I don't watch a single one of their games, it's the Pistons. They are just so depressing to me. Andre Drummond is the most joyless player in the NBA. He's not good at anything except for rebounding. He has one discernible above-average NBA skill. He can kind of dunk sometimes. He's whatever. But no, he's a bad defender. He's not a good offensive player. He doesn't have much of a skill set. And the Pistons are depressing as hell to me, and I'm so done with the Pistons. If I go the entire season without a single Pistons game, I'm happy. I said one because I don't know. Maybe I'll want to watch Avery Bradley one day. I'm not sure. But that's about it. I can't stand the Pistons.
Imagine how different things would have been if the Raptors decided to take Drummond over JV back in 2011.
Wasn't Drummond the pick ahead of...
Or was it Ross?
I think it was Ross. They took Ross and then Drummond went after him. It was 2012.
Right.
Yeah.
Imagine how different your life as a Raptors fanalist would be if that was the case.
It would be much more depressing, I can tell you that. And the Terrence Ross photo above my desk right now wouldn't be there. So,
Yeah, I think I'm going to also take the under. They're more of a box score watching team because of where I'm at in my fantasy basketball draft that nobody wants to hear about. I'm going to be relying on Ish Smith for cheap assists. So I'll more so just be checking scores instead of watching the game. I might watch the first game at that new arena in downtown, but that's about it.
So you're saying you're hoping he's Dish Smith?
Oh, log off.
Podcast is over.
I'm done. Shut it down. Let's go home.
Also, what happened too with this bracket, I think I kind of knocked some games off because I kind of set up, I estimated my total number of games watched over the course of the season as like 170 non-Raptors games. And so I ended up trying to knock off, like, just trying to get to the total of 340 is the total number that I could assign to teams that I was going to watch them. So I think, like, the Pacers probably got hit a little bit here, and like the Magic and the Hawks, like I had them a little bit higher, but I think they're a bit lower now. So, but the Pistons were at one the entire time because God, they are terrible. You ready to move on to the next bracket of teams here?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if maybe you missed any in here. I know that we're super down on the East for good reason, but is there a Western team you think could qualify for this?
No, because they're going to fall into the next category of teams.
Look at that. I just led you onto another great segue.
Absolutely. The next
this is
category,
like Wade to LeBron off the glass right here.
Yeah. The next category of teams is Young, Fun, and Awful.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
that sounds. I would get that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, there's a few West teams in here. There's three West teams that we're going to get onto here. But first, let's continue with the East, because why not? I have the New York Knicks at 10.5. Sorry, yeah, that's the over-under I set for this bracket at 10.5 games watched over the course of a season. And so the Knicks are at 10.5. I took the slight under at 9.
Wow.
I think they're going to be fun, like reasonably fun compared to past Knicks teams. I like Kristaps. I like Frankie Smokes. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what else they have after that to make it all that interesting. I mean, I guess, is it Willie or Wancho they have as of the
Hernan Gomai? They got Willie.
Okay, they have of the Hernan Gomai, they have Willie. and yeah, so like they're reasonably fun. I think they're going to be a team where I just I kind of forget about maybe. Like it'll be a team I watch early in the season, and when they're bad, I'll just be like, okay, I'm done with these guys. But nine games I think is pretty reasonable. It's the most I have so far for a team.
Oh, I am going well over.
Okay.
At least into the 20s. I love watching Knicks games because, first of all, Mike Breen and Clyde Frazier.
That's true.
I emulate yeah. Breen as a up-and-coming play-by-play broadcaster, hopefully, and try to dress my best like Clyde. The Garden is an absolute showcase for anyone that goes in there, and the New York crowds love getting behind a visitor if they're on like a big game for 40 or 50 points. They'll drive that. And then there's just the ongoing saga and drama.
That's fair.
Charles Oakley could get tackled at any game. You never know when you're going to have to tune in.
Yeah. They could be rethinking it a little bit because, like, this is – I have the most games for the Knicks until, like, five or six teams from now. Like, yeah. I have a lot of games for them. I don't know. I feel like they're going to be a team that I kind of forget about as the season goes along, as they become more relevant. That's kind of where I'm at. And I think that the fact that they're up against the Raptors will cut into how much I watch them as well. So, yeah, I can't go any higher than 9 right now. Maybe I'll find a team where I just totally abandon any desire to watch them, and I'll bump the Knicks up. But the broadcast thing is very it's a very good argument, and I think that's going to come into play for a lot of teams as we go up in the rankings here. But I just don't think they're good enough to really have the broadcast be that much of a changing factor for me.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I mean, last year I watched a lot more of them in the beginning, the first month and a half of the season when they were hovering around 500. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe if they get off to a start, not they probably won't be over 500, but if they're hovering around that mark, it's definitely more of a fun game to watch than when you get into February and March and they're 15, 20 games under.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, next team here, we have the Brooklyn Nets, and I've just changed my number on the fly. Because of the broadcast thing, I'm still going under. I'm still going under because the Nets are bad, and they're going to be bad, and I don't understand the people being compelled to think they're going to be okay, because Jeremy Lin and D'Angelo Russell might be the worst defensive backcourt in the league. I know no amount of fear of Jeremy Lin Twitter is going to dissuade me from saying the Nets are going to be bad. So yeah, I've taken 7 again. The over under was 10.5. They're gonna be like reasonably okay, I suppose, but like I don't really want to watch DeMarre Carroll anymore.
That's totally fair. Did you see he posted on Instagram a video of him knocking down a baseline jumper, and that was his highlight of the day? I thought that was a pretty fitting description of where DeMarre Carroll's career's at, that an Instagram highlight of a baseline 12 footer is something we're sharing.
Oh, DeMarre Carroll. What are you going with?
Senior swag,
under?
Daddy. I'm going to go very soft under it, probably 10. I think that I really like the Barclays Center. Of course, like you said, the broadcast, Ian Eagle, is one of the best. So,
and I also have Ryan Rocco as well, right? He's also
Yeah, I
really
love
good.
Ryan Rocco. He's my guy.
Yeah.
But D'Angelo Russell, I like watching because he'll have some fantastic plays while also making some boneheaded mistakes that'll make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the bench guys they've got. Sean Kilpatrick, Isaiah Whitehead, those guys are grinders, and they play hard every night. So I think that there's some scrappy potential there, and they can definitely scare some of the upper teams that cruise in there on the second night of a back-to-back.
I kind of just feel like they're going to be like a really, really crappy version of what the Rockets are. Just like bombing threes and playing small lineups.
But Jeremy Lin at point guard.
But they're just not good. It's like, it'd be the same sort of skeleton, but with no meat at all.
I could see that. I think 10 is probably a fair representation because I'll watch Nets-Knicks games for the comedy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure up against the Cavs, that might be a little plot line there of the pick and whether you want to take that team down. So.
Yeah, fair enough. A lot of these teams, too, I just don't watch late in the season because I have no desire to watch tanking teams. So that also factors into the Nets as well because I think they're going to be pretty bad late in the year, even though they're not tanking per se. I think
they'll be hovering around the 11-12 spot.
Actually, that might be an argument for them maybe going over near the end of the season because they'll be one of the few bad teams that isn't trying to suck. So maybe that'll bump them up a bit. I don't really care to watch the Nets. It's kind of... I don't know. People love the Nets. People are going to find that the really sexy NBA Twitter teams, I'm kind of nonplussed by a lot of the time. So
I feel that. I'm very anti-NBA Twitter love sometimes.
We'll get to that in a bit. Next one here, the Phoenix Suns, also in the young, fun, and awful category. They could have been in the unwatchable piss, but they have enough young guys that are sort of interesting, I suppose. I am not interested in the Suns, though. I went way under. I said 3. Because
I totally agree with you on this. I'm kind of done with Suns games. Like, it's too many young guys. You know what I mean? There's, like, Booker can score 60, but it's not pretty and it's inefficient. And I mean, like, how much love can you get out of Marquise Chris?
He's like Pascal Siakam, just, like, jumping up and stuff. Also, I don't like their new jerseys. I'm not a huge fan. Did they change their court, though? That would be big.
I just saw highlights from them. I should know this, but...
I think they changed the court. I think they got rid of the black perimeter and added the purple, which...
Yeah, it is purple. It looks a little prettier.
Yeah, because the black was just, like, what is this Halloween we're watching? Like, this is ridiculous. But I don't like their new jerseys. They seem kind of like jerseys you would create if you were creating a team in a video game.
This does look extremely like 2K create.
Yeah, like, let's add a little weird line here and, like, I don't know. Also, when I first saw them, the numbers looked weird. I thought they just looked like jerseys you would buy on AliExpress. They look kind of cheap to me. So, yeah, I'm going way under 3. I can't even remember who their broadcast team is. Oh, it's Marv Albert's brother, I think. Steve Albert. Steve Albert?
Is it Steve Albert? I know Kenny Bill Albert's Albert? A New York guy, but yeah, I don't know. Is there a third Albert?
I think so. I'm pretty sure, but...
Their broadcasts are very nondescript for...
Yeah.
What I
watched. There are some broadcasts that really sucked and kind of drove my watching of the team down quite a bit, which we'll get to in a second. But so you're taking the under on the Suns, or
I don't really make it any note to try to watch a Suns game because I just think they're very boring.
Yeah, and I feel like there'd be the sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say once Bledsoe gets traded mid-season, there's gonna be absolutely nothing to watch for.
I feel like there'll be the odd game where they get into like a crazy game with like the Warriors where Klay. I mean, that happened last year. That was the game where Klay scored all those points, wasn't it? Wasn't it against
The Celtics? Is when he dropped the, was it 70?
Klay?
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah,
be in a game like against the Warriors late at night where the Warriors are doing something absurd. So I'll tune in and like so Klay's scoring whatever it was like 60 points on like 4 touches.
When he didn't dribble. I thought you were talking about Booker's 70-point disaster.
I am not interested in Devin Booker's point scoring, to be brutally honest. Moving on to the next team in the young, fun, and awful. The Sacramento Kings. Again, 10.5 is the over-under, and I'm taking well over with 15, because the Kings are going to be fun as hell.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you on this. I watched a ton of Kings basketball last year when Boogie was on the team. Mm-hmm. For all that fun and games of him just mouthing off at everybody, swearing at refs, yelling at teammates. Now this year they got the full vet squad, so you got to watch some Vince games. And once they put all the rooks in later on in the year, I think when things start to go downhill, that team's going to be really fun. I love De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, like George Hill was amazing last year. He's fun to watch. Buddy Hield was like kind of good after the trade last year, and no one really talked about it because it wasn't like it wasn't a sexy trade for the Kings by any means, but he was pretty good. Scal was really good late in the season too. They got Bogdanović now. I think they're going to be kind of fun.
Yeah, I think Bogdanović is going to come over and tear it up. He didn't win MVP of the EuroLeague to come over here and sit on the bench.
Fair enough. Also, their new jerseys are incredible. Like, I love the new Kings jerseys. They look so sharp.
How do you feel about the Lion logo? It looks like a European soccer crest.
I kind of dig it. I'm a big fan of that, too. Their whole new aesthetic, I think I really, really enjoy. And, yeah, Vince and Zach Randolph, like, they'll be fun to watch. De'Aaron Fox, like, he's going to be a blast, I think, too. I'm really, really pumped about the Kings for some reason. And, like, I don't know. They seem like they're going to be an enjoyable watch. Their broadcast is pretty good when they're not denigrating Boogie.
Napier could not stand him.
Yeah, no, not at all. But, no, I think they're going to be pretty good. And, like, Willie Cauley-Stein does fun stuff. Like, young guys doing things is fun. And there's going to be a lot of opportunity for young guys to do things on this team. So.
And they're also a great team, usually, at that 10:30 start to flip to once the Warriors get up by 25+.
Absolutely, yeah. They're perfect for that. Moving on to the final team in Young, Fun, and Awful, the Lakers. They're at 10.5. I took the slight under at 8 because I'm kind of uninterested in the Lakers, to be brutally honest.
Wow.
Lonzo will be fun, sure, but I don't know.
It's well over. It's like the Knicks for me.
Okay.
You've got Bill McDonald, who is just the most lovable LA play-by-play guy who will worship Lonzo's feet. I mean, we're already at that point now when the bench is in and they're moving the ball. They're like, that's the Lonzo effect. Moving the ball for Lonzo. But I Julius Randle struggles. Kyle Kuzma's a future MVP, as we've been told by everybody else.
Duh.
I think Brook Lopez is going to keep them in some games, maybe, as a dominant force. Brook Lopez actually got kept in a fantasy league I'm in.
But is that fun to watch, Brook Lopez keeping a team in a game?
I mean, he hits threes. He's kind of like what JV is trying to be this year, right?
Oh, God. I don't want to see JV shooting threes ever.
But, yeah, I like the rotation. Caldwell Pope's going to try to fill it up every night to get a big deal next year. So
that's not fun, though. That's terrible to watch because he's not that good and can't shoot. And so I'm not for that either.
I love me some volume scorers from the school of... Any guy who was good in the early 2000s NBA, just keep chucking.
Sure, but I like a volume scorer who's like actually good at being a volume scorer, who has like a pure shot and doesn't just look awkward out there and is a masquerading 3-and-D guy trying to be more than what he is. So yeah, I'm not about that. Lonzo is like essentially the only guy on this team I'm really interested in. Larry Nance throws down cool dunks, but I can see those on Twitter.
You millennial.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm not interested by any of these players. Brandon Ingram, like, whatever. I don't care if you're good or not. I don't know. And, like, I feel like there are more interesting West teams that'll be playing up against the Lakers that I'm just going to not really want to watch them all that much.
That's fair. But I'll take the over. I'm probably going to go about 15 or 20.
All right, fair enough. Okay, let's move on to the next tier of teams. This one is just meh. That's what I've called the tier.
That you had such great names for the first two. This is very meh.
Yeah, this is what this category is, man. I couldn't think of anything that was interesting for these guys. My other ones are, like, a little bit okay.
But the Pelicans aren't in here, I might have to slap you.
Oh, we're going to get to the Pelicans, but not in this tier. So,
ooh.
Yeah, get ready. Okay, so these teams are just, like, I am very, like, just lukewarm on as I could possibly be. Like, if they're room temperature teams, I think.
Okay.
That's how I would describe them.
Room temperature's nice. I don't mind that.
Number one is the Charlotte Hornets. I set the over-under for these teams at 8.5, by the way. Less than the Young, Fun, and Awful, because like they're just less watchable, I think. the Hornets are at 8.5. I'm taking the under. I'm going to say like 3, because...
Only 3?
Yeah, I mean, I can watch the Hornets play the Raptors 4 times a year and beat them inexplicably. And then, like, I just, like, without Nick Batum and with Dwight Howard playing for them now, I don't really care about the Hornets. They are just kind of blah to me. And if it weren't for them having, like, one of the best jerseys and court combinations in the league, I would probably, like, they'd be in the Pistons range, probably. But, like, I don't know. Like, there's only so much Kemba Walker I can watch. There are better versions of Kemba Walker around the league, so I'll just watch them instead of Kemba Walker. Like, he's good, but I'd rather watch, like, Dame Lillard or someone like that. So That's kind of where I'm at with that.
I will take Kemba over Dame Lillard any day of the week, just due to personality. So let me tell you why you're wrong here and why you need to watch the Hornets at least 10 times.
Okay.
So Kemba Walker, Malik Monk, two of the biggest balls I've ever seen in college basketball, and now that that's the starting backcourt, I would assume, with Batum out, those guys are just going to be chucking threes when it comes to the game on the line. So I'm in for that. I love Dwight Howard for some reason. I really can't explain it. I've been a Dwight fan since the beginning. All of his transgressions, all of his feuds, I just think he's almost a tragic hero in a way that can't get of his own way. So I'll try to watch his reclamation project. And then you got, it's really just a college all-star team, and you know my affinity for college basketball. So, I mean, you got Cody Zeller, Frank Kaminsky, Big Ten white guys at its finest. And Marvin Williams is a 3-and-D wing hybrid that is just a vet that I'm really happy he finally found his way.
Yeah. But then you also have to watch Jeremy Lamb and Michael Carter-Williams.
Kentucky and UConn legends. Don't disrespect those guys.
Yeah, but they're not good. At least we don't have to watch Mike Toby this season. I'm down for that. I was watching the Raptors game against the Hornets, that crazy comeback game they had where they played that weird-ass lineup like right before the All-Star break last year, and Mike Toby had like a moment in that game.
That was his first... That was his career debut, was it not?
I don't know. I think it was. I didn't watch much of the Hornets last year, so I don't know.
Fair. The only player I don't like on this roster is Michael Carter-Williams. So if he gets in the game running point, I might have to flip the channel.
Former Raptor Julian Stone is also on this team. So
the ultimate length point guard, Julian Stone.
Yeah, I don't care about the Hornets. I saved a lot of, like, I loaded up a lot of the teams at the top. It sounds like I'm just someone who's not going to watch a lot of basketball.
I was going to say, are you watching sitcoms and stuff now that you've moved to Hamilton, settled down?
Yeah, just big on the reality TV.
Young Sheldon is obviously your go-to.
Well, yeah, that's it. When I deviate from the reality stuff, that's the one thing I go to. I'll watch that on DVR multiple times each week before the new episode drops. So moving on to the next team in this meh division, as the Dallas Mavericks, they could probably go with the young fun and kind of young fun and awful group, but I don't really think they're that like fun, to be honest. I don't see the appeal of Nerlens Noel. I think is my big thing with the Mavericks. Like, I just don't care about Nerlens Noel. He's like a little bit better Bismack Biyombo to me, and I don't understand why it was like a thing that he was maybe going to get a max contract. He's not that good. So that's kind of, and that kind of bleeds into my opinion of the Mavericks. Like, Harrison Barnes is whatever. Wesley Matthews is, you know, past his best days. Dirk, I want to watch the Dirk tour, and if it turns out that he's retiring this season, I'll watch more Mavs games for sure. But other than that, I just, I'm kind of nonplussed by the Mavericks as well. So I picked 5 out of, so under 8.5.
Right. Okay. 8.5. I think I'm going to go very soft under, probably about 8. I agree with most of the things you said. Barnes is extremely meh. So is Wesley Matthews these days. And Dirk, who knows how much he's actually going to play per game? Like, I would say probably no more than 25 to 28 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I love Dennis Smith. I will ride for that guy. He really...
He has
no conscience. He will... Coming off that torn ACL last year, playing for NC State, almost averaging a triple-double, he throws down ferocious dunks. He's a great one-on-one offensive player. Hopefully, Carlisle's going to get him to learn, teach him how to pass, get guys more involved. But I think once he's well on his way to a Rookie of the Year campaign, you're going to feel compelled to flick the channel.
Yeah, now I'm second-guessing myself here. Trying to add wins. I'm taking some off. Maybe I'll just watch more than 170 games. That's also a possibility, I suppose.
That's fair. The problem with the Mavericks is their bench is extremely anonymous and doesn't have any really quirky characters.
Dorian Finney-Smith, baby.
Multi-positional.
Yeah. I think their broadcast is pretty good. Who's it? Mark Folliwell's their play-by-play guy?
They have a good broadcast. I don't mind watching them. But they're kind of that 8 o'clock central time zone. They're always sandwiched in between other games, right?
Yeah, that's kind of an awkward time.
Yeah, for the East Coasters, it's tough to get on board for an 8 o'clock tip unless it's a national game.
Yeah, well, I honestly find myself, when the Raptors don't play, I kind of just really kind of dig into the 8 o'clock games, and then I'll go to bed at a reasonable hour, and I will like give myself a little extra time to prepare to watch, and I'll just watch the 8 o'clock games, kind of flip around. So that is helpful, but yeah, when the Raptors are playing, they're kind of a non-starter watching an 8 o'clock game. I want to move the Mavericks up more, but I'm trying to figure out which team to take wins from or take games from. It's proving kind of difficult. So wait,
the Pelicans.
Added...
The Pelicans.
You'll find out that I really don't like
the Pelicans.
Yeah, you'll chill. Just chill. We'll get the Pelicans. okay, I moved the Mavericks up to 9, so I'm taking the over. And if Dennis Smith is awesome, maybe I'll just watch more games. That's very possible. Moving on to the next team in the meh division. I went out of order on what I have here, so I'm confusing myself.
Great prep work.
Oh, I'm the best. The Miami Heat. Again, the over-under 8.5. I'm taking the under. I'm taking 4. I hate watching Heat games on TV. Their broadcaster, I can't remember what his name is.
They are hilarious because they are the ultimate Heat stands.
That's true. He also sounds like Kermit the Frog has a cold. That's kind of where it is.
Welcome to Miami Heat basketball.
Yeah, he's like he's too dedicated to the craft of broadcaster voice. So that bugs me, and I hate watching. Their court is like displeasing to the eye. It's all yellow and bright. And it's
have you ever thought that the logo sort of looks like an eggplant with the wall and the flames going through the hoop? It's the same shape as an eggplant.
I've never looked at it before. I've never looked at it in that light before.
I've always thought this since I was a wee lad watching the 06 finals.
It's like an eggplant that like is kind of rotted and they kind of dropped it on one head.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of looks like an egg. I like their logo, but I just think the court itself and the arena, the lights are dim, and the court is just kind of nondescript, and like I don't like how the yellow kind of blends in with the wood. It's not quite the same color as the wood, but it's not the same color, and it just kind of looks weird to the eye. I don't know. They could use an upgrade. They could use like some LEDs in that place. I'm not huge on the Heat broadcaster aesthetic. So, and I don't care about the Heat. They're gonna win 40 something games, like 42 games, and be fine. That's kind of where, like, I don't know. Maybe I also have PTSD from that playoff series a couple years ago where they were just the most unwatchable garbage in the league.
I think
alongside
the
Raptors.
But I was gonna say that, but that game 7 I still have on my PVR and watch from time to time. It's like a top 5 moment in Raptors history.
That's pretty dedicated. You gotta delete the PVR, man. You gotta. I can't
pass up on watching a Game 7 closeout 25-point win from the Toronto Raptors of all teams.
It's fair. There aren't many of them. Yeah.
I'm going to go over depending on Kelly Olynyk being out for the season. Because God bless Kelly Olynyk. He's Canadian. We should support him. But he's ugly. I hate his hair. And I hate watching him play because he's a dirty POS.
Is he actually hurt?
No. Oh. I'm just hoping. I don't want to root for an injury, but I'm saying maybe some reason he's going to have to sit out for something.
Because he's really, really dedicating himself to the Team Canada cause for the season, and he's just training with
exactly.
RJ Barrett all season long.
We don't want a U.S. men's national team miss out on the Olympics, so I think he needs to stay healthy. I really like Dion Waiters and he's kind of been on the Dion is up tour all summer. So, I mean, that's got people conscious. I love James Johnson. I will ride for him forever. I know you feel differently. And I like their young guys. Bam Adebayo, big fan of him at Kentucky last year. I think if he can develop a jump shot, he's going to be a great anchor in the middle for that team alongside Whiteside. If he can stretch the floor a little bit and rebound while Whiteside focuses on just blocking shots. And Josh Richardson is sort of like Norm Powell South.
Yeah, I guess so. They make the same amount of money now. Yeah. Here's my thing. James Johnson, I get it. He was fun last year. I still have residual angsty feelings towards James Johnson from his time with the Raptors and how he was lauded as like the reason the Raptors were bad is because he wasn't playing, which was stupid. Also, Hassan Whiteside is almost at Andre Drummond levels of like just I don't like watching him play basketball to me. He just
I agree with you on that. He is one of the best box score guys, least favorite to watch guys in the league.
Yeah, he's just not fun to watch. That's where I'm at with the Heat. I'll watch them play the Raptors, and there'll be a few games where I'll catch them on League Pass or if they're on a national game, but I'm not gonna like actively seek out Heat games because their broadcast is kind of butt, and I'm not a huge fan of it. So.
How do you feel about NBA Twitter's favorite wing, Justice Winslow?
He's not good.
Yeah, I agree with you. He like, can't shoot, and he's just kind of been a guy for...
He's like another one... Like, this is a very NBA Twitter team, and I don't like it. Like, I don't love... Like, Deion's fine. I don't think Deion's going to be as good as he was last year. Like, what is there to say that he's going to be? I don't know.
Oh, totally. I'm just in for a couple of Deion game winners.
Sure, that's great. I'll flip to those games at the end of games. That's this will be a very league pass alert kind of team for me. But other than that, like, I'm not going to actively like, yeah, I'm going to sit down and watch the Heat all day. I guess they could be beefed up if there's like a race for seeding in the Eastern Conference. And like at the end of the season, there's a chance the Raptors could play like the Heat or the Bucks or whatever other team doesn't suck in the Eastern Conference, which I don't think there are many of those. And so I think those teams could like maybe they'll beef up their number of times I watch them at the end of the season if I'm watching a seeding race. But right. Other than that, I'm kind of nonplussed by the Heat. And I've used the word nonplussed like 3 times so far, but it's a good word. So.
Whatever. Light years ahead on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. The final team in this meh division, and maybe this isn't fair, I just couldn't really place them in any other division, is the Blazers. They're 8.5, of course, the over-under. I took the over because the Blazers, I like watching Dame. I like watching McCollum. Nurkic is fun when he's just destroying people. He's like a fully realized Valanciunas when he's at his peak. And so that's fun. It's nice to watch what could be.
Yeah, I think I might be right on that number, probably 9 or 8 when it comes to the Blazers. I mean, I prefer McCollum over Dame, but I like both of the guys more off-court than I do on-court.
Right.
They fill it up, but I think Dame kind of gets a little too much love for what he is, and like everyone's going to complain he doesn't make the All-Star team, but does he really make that team a lot better? The jury's still out on that. And they're just kind of around, like, they have Mo Harkless, they have Aminu, they have guys who can do the thing that people want to do and play positionless and switch and knock down threes, but they're just kind of there, and I think the Nuggets are going to surpass them in terms of watchability, playoff seeding, and just kind of take their spot among NBA playoff lore.
Fair enough. I think I love watching Dame. He's kind of like Lowry in the fact that he just pulls up for three all the time, and he's going to get into the rim. He doesn't play defense like Lowry does, but... I like him, and honestly, I think my opinion of Dame has kind of changed. Just kind of reading about and like listening to the podcast about like what he's like with that team and how much they adore him. Like I kind of respect him for that. Right. So I like Dame a lot. I mean, you know, I think he's lamer off court than he is on court for sure. So that's kind of where it hits. And like I think one of the best developments of this new All-Star format is that they kept the 12 from each conference thing because we'll still get a jilted Dame Lillard at the end of the at the end of the All-Star break. So that's fun. But yeah, I think also the broadcast is really good. Kevin Calabro's great, and the on-court like aesthetic is really pretty. They have among the best jerseys in the league. Their logo's awesome. Their arena's fun and loud. So I like watching the Blazers. They're not like my top team out west to watch, but they're pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I mean, it's another West Coast team that when the Warriors are running away with things, you know you'll get at least some kind of competitive ball out of that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, moving on to the next category of teams. This is probably the most interesting one. This is young, fun, and kind of good.
Okay. All right. So yeah,
this one, I think I set the over-unders pretty high for these ones because I think they're really sexy teams to want to watch. And there's 4 teams here. First up, let's get to the Sixers. The Sixers, I set the over-under for these 4 teams at 21.5. And the number of league pass watches I've predicted for myself is 19, just slightly under. But the Sixers are going to be watchable when Joel Embiid plays. If he's not playing, then I don't care. But yeah, they're gonna be a good time. What do you have for the over under on this one?
Yeah, I was about to say I'll probably be over just because I think also are 7 o'clock start time. And as long as Embiid stays healthy, that's pretty much must watch basketball whenever he's out on the court. Hopefully Fultz gets right and stops shooting the ball above his shoulders because that does not look attractive. But I'm also the Ben Simmons factor is going to be really big. I really liked what I've seen from him so far in the couple preseason games he's been out there, and I think they're going to really let the offense try to run through him. And if he can find shooters and Redick's knocking down shots, that's fun. Mm-hmm. And I like their bench, too. I hope
Sean Holmes, baby. He's the one NBA Twitter guy I really like because I was in on him first. I swear to God, I wrote a post on him. I watched like a Lakers Sixers game for a site I used to write for just because no one was going to watch it. So I was like, I'll watch it and write about it. And Rashawn Holmes was awesome, and I've been in on him ever since in his rookie season. And yeah, give me Rashawn Holmes.
That, and I hope I read the, I don't know if you read it, I read the Jahlil Okafor SB Nation feature by Jordan Brenner yesterday, which was really, really dark. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel bad for Okafor because he gets ripped on by all the advanced stats people because he doesn't play defense, which is totally fair. But
yeah,
there's still a place for low post centers with great footwork in this league somewhere. And for him to feel like he's just been totally forgotten by a team and who's obsessed with Embiid and the young guys on the roster, I hope he carves out a niche for himself or at least gets traded. And playing well early on in the season hopefully gets him somewhere where he's in a happy place.
I also knocked the Sixers down a bit. Their broadcast is good, but I feel like it's going to be extremely precious this season about the process and the sort of virtue of, you know, tanking to go all in and try to win a title and get all these stars, which might not still even work. I love Joel Embiid. I hope he stays healthy more than almost anything in the world, but I'm not confident that he's going to, and I feel like a wet blanket every time I say it, but like... He's got to stay healthy, and he's probably not going to, based on history. He's not going to play 82 games this season, that's for damn sure. He probably will play like 55 if he stays healthy, and so that's a bummer to me. And yeah, just the preciousness. There was the post that came out today for SI talking about the Sixers and the process and how the entire point of Hinkie was to build a team that doesn't have a ceiling of the 2013 to 2017 Raptors, which is his exact quote.
Because that was such a disaster, we know.
Yeah, and lumping in teams like the Pacers and the Grizzlies and the Hawks and the Bulls and the Jazz. Like, if the Sixers rebuild gets to that level where they're one of those teams who has a chance to make a conference finals, maybe swing into a finals, that's a successful rebuild. It's really hard to rebuild and be good. And there are a lot of stumbling blocks that get in your way. Like, you know, 7-2, maybe best player on earth one day, players who can't stay healthy, or guys who forget how to shoot, or, you know, all these different things. Injuries. I don't know. I just, the preciousness of the Sixers makes them a little less attractive to me as a team I want to watch a whole bunch, but... maybe I'm just an outcast from NBA Twitter and I don't belong. I don't know.
No, I agree with you. And I mean, I think the broadcast is fine. I really like their color guy, a la Abdul Nabi. And I think the broadcast doesn't really focus on going all in on Sam Hinkie's a god and the process is great. They kind of try to stay as neutral as possible. But you're right. It's more so the fans on Twitter, which as long as you can avoid that, I think the Sixers are just a fun viewing experience.
Yeah, so yeah, those 19 games that I picked will all be games where Embiid plays, so it might end up being more. I might just need to hang out with my girlfriend less and watch more games, because I feel like I have too few games sort of tallied up here. But
yeah, ball is life. No,
I'm curious to see what your total is going to be at the end. Have you been keeping track of how many you've picked for these teams?
Ooh, I haven't, but I mean, I'm already... I'm up to about 150, I think, if I took the over on the Knicks and the Lakers going like 25.
Yeah, we'll have to,
that's like 50 right there.
Yeah, you have to go back and listen to all these, to the entire podcast and keep totals so we can see.
Yes, so if you want to be an award-winning listener, send us the totals at the end of this show.
Because I'm very curious to see if you're going to be at like 500 total games or like 250 total games watched, 500 teams like assigned, I don't know.
I mean, I think I'm pretty close. We count, I have three screens going in the living room at all times.
Okay, that's
so.
Fair.
I mean, if you count that as watching each game, yeah, then I think I'm gotta be up there. But I've got college games on too, so it's really just a crapshoot.
God, university, man, I miss it. All right, so let's move on to the next team in young, fun, and kind of good. Excuse me, the Milwaukee Bucks. I set it at 21.5, and I'm taking the over 22. The Bucks are going to be fun. Giannis is incredible. I don't really care if the rest of the roster doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and I don't care if Chris Middleton is the most overhyped player on NBA Twitter. Giannis is good enough that he's going to carry this team to a lot of me watching them, if that's a thing. Yeah, the Bucks are going to be awesome. Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm a big Bucks fan, and I hope Jabari Parker can finally come back and stay healthy, because we kind of saw him hit his stride last year, and he's a great compliment, since he's not going to do all the dirty work on defense that you're going to get out of the longer guys like Giannis and McCourt at the rim. Notice that pronunciation right there.
Oh, that's what we're going to be doing on this podcast. We're going to get pronunciations right. If nothing else, we're going to pronounce commonly mispronounced names correctly. So.
Besides that, there's really nothing I don't like about it. I really like Greg Monroe off the bench. I hope he has a big year, because I think they're going to need him with how thin the rest of that rotation looks, to be honest. I mean, Jason Terry's still kicking around at 40.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Joel Anthony on the roster right now, so there's some CanCon for you there with Maker too.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, you just mispronounced it. You just violated
the entire sanctity
of the podcast. We can bleep that out, I suppose.
Yeah, we'll edit in post.
So yeah, we're both taking the over on the Bucks. Next up, maybe the sexiest preseason team for people to want to watch is the Denver Nuggets, also 21.5. I'm also taking the over at 22. This could be significantly more if they're really fun, if Jamal Murray starts at point guard. The Nuggets are going to be, I'm not sure how good they're going to be, because I think their defense could kind of suck. And there's a lot of dudes there. They got to figure out who's going to play and who's not going to. And there might be sort of just kind of some friction, I think, among that team, just as they try to sort out what the rotation's going to be. But, man, Jokic, Millsap, and Gary Harris, another one of those NBA Twitter dudes. Wilson Chandler's pretty good. Like, Jamal Murray, I think this is going to be a really, really fun team to watch.
Interesting here. And I'm going to go the other way because I'm going under.
Okay.
I think all of the love for Jokic has kind of turned me off. I mean, yeah, he's a great offensive player, but I don't really get that much out of watching him.
Okay.
I don't like the broadcast. I think it's rough. Now, the difference is this year I unfollowed HP Basketball on Twitter.
Right.
And we know his affinity for the Nuggets. So maybe not having that pumped down my throat at all times will get me tuning back in. I ride for Jamal Murray and Trey Lyles, a little Canadian content on that team as well.
Yes.
But there's just nothing about them that really does it for me besides, I don't know. I think getting rid of the Skyline uniforms in that yellow has really turned me off too. I love those things.
Fair enough. The thing with the Nuggets that I like is their games are always high scoring and fun. It's always fast. They're always trying to run another team out of the gym, and that leads to interesting basketball and Terrence Ross dunking on people. I like their court, I think. I don't like how they don't have the colored paint, but overall, like, it's a nice bright aesthetic I kind of enjoyed watching. I might be a little bit high, but I do think they're going to be really fun, and I think their offense is going to be incredible. And my whole philosophy during the regular season is screw defense. I just want to see teams score a bunch of points, aside from one team, which we're going to get to in a little bit. But for the most part, I love watching high scoring. Like, defense makes the regular season less fun. I'm cool with the Nuggets winning games like 128-125.
Or
losing them that score. I'm cool with that.
See, I go the other way. I love a good 88-84 rock fight.
Well, here's the thing. I also enjoy those games, and it has to be. I prefer that between like with a team that is trying to do that, as opposed to two teams that are just sucking. Because I feel like there are games like, you know, Pacers, Bulls, which are going to be like that, but it's not because they want to be. It's just because they don't have anything else to do. They're just really bad. Whereas I think there's a couple teams we'll get to that I think are going to sort of have those types of games, and it's going to be intentional, and then I can get on board with it.
I agree with that. That's okay. A good take.
Okay. So next team is the Wolves. 21.5, the over-under. I'm taking the over as well because I love hearing Tom Thibodeau scream ice.
Ice! Ice! Ice!
What do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go over too because I think, like I just said, Tibbs is really going to try to push that defense-first mentality for them. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, Towns can work on his rotations and Wiggins finally lives up to this defensive potential that people have said he's had for the past 4 years and we really haven't seen. I think that Jimmy being there is going to be huge, finally having that vet voice who's done it with Tibbs before. They're going to create sort of a united front to try to get Wiggins and Towns on board, along with Taj Gibson, too. Definitely a Tibbs system guy. And I like the supporting cast they've got there, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much I'm going to love watching Jamal Crawford come off the bench, but overall, people have been really crapping on their jerseys. I think they're actually not that bad.
It's extremely Seahawksy.
Yeah, it's very Seahawksy, and like, I like that it's a different kind of font and sort of template for the jersey than any other team has. I'm cool with that. Also, the new court looks really good. It's got the green highlights, and they have the nice wolf. The wolf with the skyline of Minneapolis as well. I think that's going to look pretty good on TV. And the broadcast is incredible. Jim Peterson and Dave Benz is probably the best broadcast in the NBA. So
yeah, those dudes are great. They are furthest ring from homers. I think they combine the perfect amount of advanced stats, traditional eye test. It's a really good watch.
Yeah, I'm going to watch a lot of the Wolves this season. So we're both over there. And that's it for young, fun, and kind of good. Moving on to the next one. This doesn't have a creative name. It's just, what the hell is that going to look like?
I think I know what teams are going to be in here.
Yeah, this is just teams that are, there's a lot of change going on. There's a lot of sort of uncertainty as to what they're going to be. And let's dive into it first. Number one is the Utah Jazz.
Okay.
This is a team where And sorry, I set the over-under. This is the one category where I had to sort of cheat a little bit, because there are three teams in here that I don't think are, like, you know, contenders slash going to be on national TV all the time. And then there's three that are. So for the three that are going to be, like, top of the conference contenders, I put it at 23.5. And for the not-so-top of the conference teams, I have them at 15.5. So for the Jazz, I set it at 15.5, and I'm taking the over. I'm going to say 18. This is one of those teams where I'm really going to enjoy watching them win 85 to 76 games, because Rudy Gobert is awesome. I really like Ricky Rubio, and their court looks good. I like their jerseys. I think they have like an updated jersey set this year as well. I like the Jazz a lot, and I'm curious to see. As much as I like regular season sort of high scoring games, and I'm anti defense in the regular season, the Jazz, they're going to be built around defense, and I think that's fun and different because not many teams are anymore. And I'm kind of up for differing styles in the league, too, because there's just too much sort of, just mono-stylizing of the league, I guess would be the word. Like, everyone's just kind of trying to go for the Warriors theme, and no one's going to do it as well as the Warriors, so why not try to be different? And the Jazz do that, and I'm here for Rudy Gobert blocking 4 shots a game and being awesome.
I totally agree with you. If everyone goes to space and pace just chucking threes, the league will become, I think, almost unwatchable at a point if that were to ever happen. So All in on the Jazz trying to counteract that their own way. They also have such a good roster of just characters. Mm-hmm. I love Joe Ingles and his slow drives, but he can knock down the open shot. Hopefully Rodney Hood stays healthy and becomes that secondary scorer they need. Of course, you got ISO Joe winning games on post touches and slowly backing guys down. And I'm all in on Donovan Mitchell, too.
Yes. Oh, man. He looked amazing. It sucks that Dante Exum's hurt. That really, really blows, because he could have had some sort of fun moments. Like, I think another thing that boosts up teams is when they have a young dude who can just do exciting, fun things, maybe unexpectedly, and Exum would have been one of those guys. But overall, I think their broadcast is, like, reasonably okay. Actually, it might be one of the biggest drop-offs from play-by-play guy to color guy in the league, because I really like Craig Bowlerjack, but Matt Harpering is awful.
Yeah, Matt Harpering's just a little bit of a homer.
Just a tad. So, yeah, that's I think the Jazz, I like the differing styles. I'm going to be all in on the Jazz this season. And I appreciate that they're zigging when the rest of the league is zagging. Maybe out of necessity, but I'm down for it.
Next yes, up. Seeing their rotation come in, how it's going to work out, too. Sorry to cut you off. But they have so many guys. Like, they've added Ekpe Udoh, they added Taubo, and if Derek Favors stays healthy, it's going to be interesting to see what Quinn Snyder does with the rotation.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how many guys will get hurt, because guys always get hurt in the Jazz, and it'll hurt the depth. But yeah, there's a lot of just like good NBA players on this team. And also someone called Royce O'Neal, who I've never heard of, but is on the depth chart as I look at it.
Yeah, so, O'Neal with an E.
Shout out to Royce O'Neal. Next one here, this is the one we're probably going to disagree. The Pelicans are at 15.5. I'm taking the over because I love chaos.
Okay. Well, when you word it like that, I'm going to sound like a dumbass because I also love chaos, but I hate watching Anthony Davis.
What?
He's the most boring great player I've ever watched. Oh, and I don't know if it's because of the arena, if it's because of the terrible jerseys, if it's because the rest of the guys on the team are very boring and are all wings who can't make shots, but I'm just I think I have Anthony Davis fatigue.
What the hell? I can't relate to this at all. Because Anthony Davis is incredible. Him and Boogie together, it might not work, but there will be times where it works and it'll be really fun. And when it doesn't work, there's a chance that there will be just like full-scale revolution within the team. Rondo's out right now, but he'll be back at some point and he'll cause more problems. Jordan Crawford is probably just going to go and like bomb threes at some point and like try to win games late, and then Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins will beat him up. There's Tony Allen's on this team, like just going to be growling at people and missing shots. Like, this is going to be fun for all the wrong reasons, I think, because it's not going to be a good team, I don't think. And it doesn't make any sense on paper. And, like, there's, like, three guys who I would say are, like, good NBA players, and the rest are just, like, ugh. But I'm all in on this team because they're going to be chaotic and with the potential for night-to-night implosions. And, yeah. And also, Joel Myers is incredible. He might be my favorite. I said the Wolves broadcast is my favorite, like, overall booth. But I think Joel Myers is my favorite singular play-by-play guy. In terms of league pass guys,
I do like Joel Myers. I think he would be probably in my top 6 of play-by-play guys. you make valid points, and there's definitely some blow up potential there, and I love some of the guys, the auditions they have. I for everyone that hates watching Rondo, I still really enjoy watching Rajon and Tony Allen, of course. Mm-hmm. But yeah, until they, if they get good, maybe I'll hop on watching them a lot more. But if it's just the same old 500 back and forth of Boogie and Anthony, can they coexist? I don't know if I'm going to commit that much time to watching them. I think there's just better things to be keeping your eyes on.
I'm just very ready for, like, Rondo, Jordan Cross. No, actually, no. Rondo, Tony Allen, Dante Cunningham, Anthony Davis, Boogie lineups where no one can shoot. Like, you talk about differing styles.
Maybe not scoring is the new scoring.
Hell yeah. Yeah. None of my, like, reasonings behind any of this are consistent throughout this. I'm kind of flopping back and forth as to why I like teams, but I don't know. The Pelicans are going to be, at the very least, an interesting thought experiment next season or this season. And like, I don't think we got enough of the Boogie and AD thing to really say if it's going to be good or not. And I love watching Anthony Davis. He's so freaking good. So I'm up on the Pelicans. Next team is the Clippers in this what the hell are they going to look like bracket. 15.5 the over-under. I took the over at 16. Milos Teodosic. That Milos Teodosic shit. Oh, my God.
Third time's a charm?
Went like an hour without screwing up too bad in speaking English. But, yeah, Milos is going to be really fun.
He is. I was listening to that Simmons pod last week when they said he's going to be smoking at halftime, and I'm totally in on that. I love his no fucks given look right there. They're going to be interesting. I love Ralph Lawler. The only play-by-play guy to still go at it with a handheld mic. That's a major factor for me.
Also, Bruce Bowen is an enormous upgrade on Mike Smith.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was Bruce until watching that one Raps preseason game that they picked up the Fox Sports feed.
Well, that was his first game.
Yeah, and I think he's a great addition to that broadcast team. I like watching Blake Griffin play when he's healthy, especially if they start to run more of the offense through him. And it's just going to be such an interesting team because they could win 35 games or they could win 55 games. I think we don't really have a great read on them, and I know you love Lou Will, so you'll be watching for those end of quarter ISOs too.
Oh, that'll be what makes me not watch them, I think. But I love Pat Bev. I'm down for watching him be insane in mid-January when it doesn't have to be so insane. But I like the Clippers. They're going to be watched a lot. I don't think you can understate how bad Mike Smith was as a color guy. Like, just, and we might be sitting up, we might be like just crapping on people who are future Hoop Talks panelists, but Mike Smith was very bad, and I have no time for Mike Smith. He was just, he didn't add anything to the broadcast. Bruce Bowen, he's got some refining to do, I think, but he's still pretty good.
Agreed.
Moving on to the next team, we're now into the contender portion of this bracket, the what the hell are they going to look like, and it's the Celtics. Over under at 23.5. I'm sure they have like 100 national games this year.
Of course. It's a real sports city, you know.
Yeah. Oh my God. What? What's your sort of philosophy when it comes to nationally televised games? Like, do you watch them or do you go to the League Pass games that are on outside of that? Because it is like a fun communal experience to watch like a big nationally televised game, but also sometimes I just don't want to watch the goddamn Rockets again.
I think my answer would probably be a lot different because as a broadcasting student, I would love to work on a show like that. So I will try to make every ESPN game and TNT game I can, unless it gets woefully out of hand. Like that year the Knicks were on all the time when they had like 5 wins in February.
Oh my God. Yeah. Just brutal. So I set the over under for these next three teams at 23.5 times watched over the course of the season. I went under and it said 12, mostly because I knocked the wins off of them to get to my desired total, and I'm uninterested in this. I'm not uninterested, but just fuck the Celtics.
Yeah, well, obviously. I was just saying that to my roommates this morning. There's no more hateable team in the league right now than the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, also, don't like watching Kyrie Irving unless it's like in the closing minutes of a close game. I don't like watching him over the course of a game. I don't find his game to be interesting.
Well, and I only think he became more watchable once LeBron showed up. Now that he's back kind of running the thing himself, I think there might be a ton more ISO ball. I really am down on Al Horford. I was reading the Washington Post Top 100 this morning and saw him ahead of DeRozan, and that got me fired up a little bit. Because, yeah, he does everything on the court, but he's also anonymous a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'll probably take the over just because I'm going to hate watch them a lot of the time, and all the national games I'll probably be watching. But it's a brand new roster, and I think that they're going to start out a little slower, which almost makes them more of a fun watch when they drop some games they shouldn't and people start to freak out.
That would be nice, yeah. I mean, we'll see them play the Raptors a ton, and so that'll boost up the total times I watch them. I'll probably watch them more than 12 times, but being honest, this was mostly a spite pick, but I don't think I'm going to go over 23.5 with them if I do watch them more than 12.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm fine. They're a team that are always close in late in games, too, so it'll be a league pass team I can flip to watch the last 5 minutes because they don't pull away from anybody, especially because this season they're not going to be able to play any defense. So.
That's true. They are a great last 5 minutes team.
They'll just be like a team-wide microcosm of what Isaiah Thomas was last year as an entity, where he was amazing in fourth quarters because he couldn't pull away because he was so bad at defense, and so he was forced to be good in fourth quarters. The Celtics might be good in fourth quarters, but it'll be out of necessity because they can't pull teams out because they can't stop anybody.
Sounds like the early season Raptors of last year. let's not get too excited.
The Raptors blew a ton of teams out at the start of last year.
That's fair. It was mid-season when they...
We got so much garbage time in November and December. It was lovely. so much pre-writing was done at games. It was great. Next up, we had the Oklahoma City Thunder, 23.5. I took a slight under just because I was trying to get down to that total. And I also just hate their jerseys. And Russ is, like, really fun. But also, he's fun. Like, he's like cocaine. It's like... Yeah, it's great, but I don't want to do it all the time. That's just a lot.
That's a pretty decent analogy. I can't hate
so,
on that.
Like, you got to pace yourself with it a little bit. I love watching Paul George, but like, I didn't really tune into Pacers games when he was on them, so I'm not sure he's going to be much more of a draw to the Thunder. I don't love watching Melo. Like, I think Melo's good. He's going to make that team better, but I'm not like huge on him. So I said 20. I'll watch them a lot, but I think they're crappy jerseys. They're very Homer broadcast, and just the kind of unsexiness of all of their stars as like individual guys I want to watch is probably going to drive them down a little bit for me.
Oh, see, I'm gonna go well over here. This is like a real amalgamation of some of my favorite guys in the league. I will watch Russ forever. I think what he does on the court is almost magical when you watch it. And hopefully this year, even though the triple-double is still probably going to be something he tries to go for more often than not, I really hope that having Melo and Paul George there allows him to defer and become more of a scorer instead of a guy just forcing it.
Imagine he averages like 12 points... 11 rebounds and like 22 assists.
That would be incredible. That might go down as the best season in NBA history, beating last year's by a long shot. I hope Melo becomes Olympic Melo. I'll say that like everybody else. If he's just spotting up, as long as he tries on defense, mm-hmm. I think that there's potential that he can stay on the floor a lot and average 25 plus. And then if Paul George is in a winning situation, I think we'll see his mood uptick and his effort uptick. And he knows now he's not the guy to take that last shot, which he hated doing. Mm-hmm. So I think that as long as he can just become a defensive stopper in the second half of games, if they need it, they're going to be a very fun watch. The problem is with the bench and what they do. I mean, if Patrick Patterson comes off as the sixth man, or if they play him in small units with Adams off the bench, I really don't know what else you're going to do besides Ray Felton. Like, is Terrence Ferguson going to break out?
I like Alex Abrines. He's a good shooter.
Yeah, he can shoot.
Yeah.
He's got that floppy top hair.
Yeah. Yeah, the bench is going to be a problem. It might be... I mean, they're going to stagger, so it won't be that unwatchable when they go to the bench because they'll have one or two of George, Melo, and Westbrook on the court at all times, you would think.
Let's hope Billy Donovan does that.
Yeah. I mean, if he's looking to turn people away from watching the games, just bench those three at the same time. Pull the Vogel and...
The Doc Rivers and the Vogel, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The Thunder will be fine. Their jerseys are so awful.
I'm kind of in on the new alternates with the Navy.
Those are good. I'm down for those. But other than that, they're just, I don't know. They need an entirely new rebrand, I think.
Yeah, you got to go away from the cartoony colors, I think, for sure.
Yeah, it's extremely tired. And there's like five different colors going on in their logo. Like, just pick three, maybe. So next up in the final team in this category of what the hell are they going to look like is the Rockets. I have them at 23.5. I took the over. I said 24. The most I have for any team, actually. It's probably going to be more than that. And the Rockets are going to be... I'm fascinated to see the dynamic between him, between Harden and Paul. And that's pretty much the extent of how much, like, why I want to watch them. They're fun to watch. Like, the D'Antoni offense is enjoyable. It's quick. It's fast-paced. And I think they're going to bomb a bunch of threes, and they're going to be a lot of dunks for Clint Capella going down the lane. And it's going to be an interesting experiment that I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be a very slight over, only because I hate watching them on League Pass.
Right.
It's one of those dark arenas. The broadcast is pretty meh.
The arena is nice and bright, I think, isn't it?
It seems like it's darker when it's a local show than when it's a national game.
I'm but, with you on the broadcast, though.
Yeah, it's
I almost always will go to the opposing broadcast when it comes to the Rockets.
Because, definitely.
Yeah, that is, I can't do it.
No, yeah, I totally agree with you on that. They do have my dad and my idol PJ Tucker on the roster, so I think that's going to probably boost up a couple games. They have a lot of fun guys. I mean, I'm definitely going to be over. It's just a matter of they're one of those teams that they win repeatedly with their system, and I think unless they're playing a team at their caliber, it's really not of interest to watch if they're just blowing out a random East team.
Well, here's the thing. I think I'm going to watch every time they play against the Warriors and the Spurs and the Wolves and the Nuggets. Like, yeah. All these big, like, high-level matchups, I'm going to watch all of them. So that's just going to run up the total, I think, because they're just going to be so fun. And, yeah, so I think that's kind of going to be where it comes from. I'm not going to, like, seek them out against, like, a subpar team. But there's going to be a lot of really good games between West teams that's just going to drive all these numbers up, I think.
No, I agree with you on that for sure. It's going to be probably about 30, 35 games.
I was probably way too conservative in the number of games I'm going to watch.
I think definitely. It seems like you're not watching much hoop at all.
Yeah, well, it's, 170 games or whatever it is. That's not nothing. I'm sure the lady friend would disagree in saying there's not many games. But, let's move on to the next category, I suppose. The final category, the predictably good category. Okay. And this one, I have kind of different over-unders as well. One of them is just not as good as the rest of the teams. So the Wizards are the first team.
Right.
Because it didn't really fit anywhere else. The Wizards are fun. They're good. John Wall's amazing. Bradley Beal's fine. If you're talking about a team that's, like, predictable in terms of what they're going to do, I think that's the Wizards. Like, they're going to win, like, 48 to 50 games. Wall's going to be incredible. He's going to set up a bunch of assists with his, like, crazy driving kick stuff. He's going to throw down some dunks. And the bench is going to suck ass. And that's going to be the Wizards. So I took a slight under on the 15.5. I said 14, and they're good. They're fine. They're good, but I'm not like going out of my way to watch them. I think most nights.
See, I'm going to go over. I think that I love watching John Wall. Can't disagree with you there. Bradley Beal's a lot of fun too. Great shooter. But I also think now that the bench might not be good or great, obviously, but they have some fun characters. Like, I like watching Mike Scott and his emoji tattoos run around. Tim Frazier is a great assist guy as a backup point guard, so hopefully he can make some plays. He had a couple triple doubles last year with the Pelicans too. He don't sleep on him. He's a good talent. Mm-hmm. And then if Jody Meeks can stay healthy and just knock down corner triples, I think that could be a big boost too.
Jody Meeks staying healthy,
it's like Embiid staying healthy. I know. But,
like, this team is relying on Jan Mahimi, Jody Meeks to be healthy and be, like, the seventh and eighth men.
Like, when you put it that way.
That's not good. I mean, I guess they got Kelly Oubre as their sixth man, and then you got Frazier as your seventh, and then
maybe the Satoransky breakout is going to happen.
I'd probably pencil in Donald Sloan to be just as good as Thomas Satoransky, if we're being honest here. I think they're missing Markieff for the start of the season as well. I don't want to watch Jason Smith shoot 17 footers.
Yeah, Jason Smith is the ultimate nondescript NBA white guy.
All right, let's move on to the next tier of teams. Or wait, no, we're in the same tier. Never mind. This is a different tier of predictably good teams. I put the over-unders for these three teams at 27.5. And this team, the first one up is the San Antonio Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
I took way under because I don't care about the Spurs. I said 8 games. It's probably too low, but I just don't care.
No, I agree with you. I didn't watch much Spurs games last year, and with Kawhi out for probably a month-ish, I'm really, unless they're on national TV in the first couple of weeks, are they on the opening night schedule? I'm not sure if they are.
No, they're not. Celtics, Cavs, and then it's Warriors, Rockets.
Right, so if they don't get that spot, I'm probably not going to watch them in their first week unless the games are marquee. It's just kind of, same old, same old. You got Pau Gasol, you got LaMarcus Aldridge, just some names and some dudes.
Mm-hmm.
If DeJounte Murray gets in, I'll flip over for that. But, I'm going to go under on them. I don't really watch them that much until playoff time anyways.
Fair enough, yeah. We know what they are. They're going to shoot a lot of mid-range shots, and LaMarcus Aldridge is... He's in that milieu of player alongside Drummond and Whiteside, where I don't really want to watch him. They're blat to me. Next up is the Cavs, also 27.5. It said 13. That's probably way too low.
Wow! That is astonishingly low.
I don't think I have enough games watched in here. I don't know. I might have undersold myself. I was trying to be conservative. But anyway, the 13, I just know what the Cavs are at this point.
But do you really?
They're not a fun regular season team. Like, I don't want to watch Derrick Rose or Jeff Green. I just don't.
Oh, I am going the absolute other way on this because we have no idea what they're going to be. What kind of Derrick Rose are we going to get? What Dwayne Wade are we going to get? What is bench Tristan Thompson going to look like? Is Jeff Green as the ninth man this dunk-throwing machine we've seen so far in the preseason?
I guess my whole thing with the Cavs is that like they're going to win the East. So why I don't know. This is like a why does it matter regular season team. I think they treat it like that as well. There'll be some tinkering they got to do where they got to figure out who's going to play and how many minutes they're going to get and whatnot. But I'm just kind of I don't like watching Isaiah Thomas even that much when he's back. Like he's fine.
The thing is with the Cavs, we only have LeBron for so long.
And that is my one.
You need to watch as much LeBron as you can because how long it seems he's going to stay at this peak every year. We can't challenge that because he's proven everyone wrong so many years in a row. But it's going to come to an end eventually, and you want to soak it up while you can. And also, their broadcast is homerific, but in a funny way.
Austin Carr, yeah,
he's a legend. Like you just laugh watching the games. That's the entertaining part.
Yeah, he's annoying, but yeah, there's some charm to it, I suppose. That's the thing. That's my one hang-up with having them so low is that I feel like I'm wasting LeBron by not watching him. So maybe I should watch more and take games off of the Pistons, the one game that I assigned to the Pistons.
And I think Kevin Love might actually have a lot more fun this year and have a mini breakout of sorts back to not Minnesota-level days quite that much, but definitely more involved and a better face on that team.
Fair enough. Moving on to the next team. This is the final team, the Golden State Warriors. I said at 27.5, which is a third of all their games. And I forget how much basketball I watched, to be honest. So this all might be out of whack, these numbers. But the Warriors at 27.5, I took the under because like this is the ultimate we know what they're gonna do team, and like they're the kind of team that I'll watch the first quarter, they'll be up by 30, and I'll just flip away.
Oh, exactly.
And I'll only come back if someone's doing something historic. Which happens sometimes, but I just they're the ultimate predictable team to me, and that's why they're the kind of team when they're on national TV, I'll try to watch the League Pass game that's going on adjacent to it because like I know exactly how the Warriors are going to play.
Yeah, I agree with you, and even when you say something historic, that happened way more before Durant got there. They were such a joyful watch, and I remember being like excited to watch a Warriors game. Now it's really just like it's on. I'll probably watch 5 minutes of it. They'll go up on a 12-2 run, and then it's like, well, what else is there to see here? So, yeah, for sure. I mean, now I think if JaVale and Swaggy are in at the same time, you're going to have to flip back just to see some of the comic stuff that's going to happen, and that's my only hope is that those two bring down the team from the inside out.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that's going to do it. We just did all of the 30 teams. We took a lot longer than I thought we were going to, but what we've learned is that the Pistons are trash.
You don't watch a lot of basketball.
Apparently, I just don't watch any basketball at all.
No, it's like you just play video games or something.
Yeah, I just read the box scores, and then I'm actually the "Do you even watch the game, bro?" guy. So yeah, that's what we've learned here. Do we have anything else we got to do to wrap up this first episode? Oh, we have to. We have our segment that we got to promote that we're going to do next week, and I thought it was a good idea that we'd get the people to vote on it as to how it's going to work. Do you want to detail what this segment is going to be?
I am drawing a blank right now on this segment, so if you would be as careful enough to remind me.
Well, I was just trying to defer to you as the host and not
I'm obviously step on your toes, slacking on my duties here.
That's fair. So we're going to do a segment each week called the Hate Watch of the Week, where we're going to have you guys vote on what is the most unwatchable game in a given week of the NBA season. I picked games from Wednesday and Thursday next week because I'm assuming we're going to try to record this on like Thursday. So I didn't pick anything from the weekend for next week. So there's only a couple days of games to choose from. But I threw out four different games that are happening next week and asked for people to vote on what they think is the most unwatchable game. And what we're going to do is we're going to watch that unwatchable game. Maybe we'll tweet about it. Maybe we'll commiserate online and be mad online about it. And then what we're going to do is talk about the game. We'll take notes and we'll share our observations of a really crappy NBA game at the end of the week. So,
because that's what the people are dying for.
I think it's – I prefer this. I think this is better than just talking about the Cavs and the Warriors and the Celtics. We're going to talk –
I agree. You can get
week.
That elsewhere.
Exactly. So next week – the overwhelming winner of this poll that I sent out, the four games that I put out there on the poll on the Hoop Talks Live account, which you should absolutely follow, by the way, which Mitch and I are going to be doing some work on over the next little while as well. The four games, the Nets and Pacers on Wednesday night, the Hornets and Pistons on Wednesday night, the Heat and Magic on Wednesday, and I think the Blazers and Suns is on Thursday. It might be on Wednesday, though. Either way, those are the four games we have to choose from. And the people overwhelmingly voted for the Nets and Pacers at 48%
of
the total vote. Yeah,
I was thinking it was going to be Hornets Pistons.
That would have been my vote, but
I know, obviously, that would have been like your dream hate watch right there.
Absolutely. So we're going to hate watch Nets Pacers on the second night of the season, and we're going to take notes, and we're going to dive deep into it, and we're going to talk about it next week, and then we'll do the same thing. We thought we'd let you know which game we're going to do in case you want to watch along with us. That'll be fun.
Yeah, and, get in on it. We'll all dress up like Damari Carroll.
Absolutely. So we're hoping this will be a weekly segment, the Hate Watch of the Week. Next week we'll talk about Nets Pacers and pick a game for the following week as well. Do you have a – I wonder if there's a line for this game yet. Let's see here.
Ooh, are we going to start giving out betting picks? You know I'm a degenerate, so this is –
Yeah, I'm not much of a betting guy, but let's see here. I'm going to pull up – what's the odds site? Odd Shark. Then we'll use that. How about that?
You're obviously a very experienced gambler.
Oh, I'm quite the betsman. Call me Gary Bettman. Let's see here. NBA. This is going slowly.
If I would have to guess, I would say it's probably Pacers minus like 4.5.
There is currently no line right now.
I think we're too early.
The Pacers are ranked 14th in the power rankings by Oddshark, 20th of the Nets, which both seem very high. We'll be able to make a pick maybe closer to the time. We'll pick against the spread in this game. I would guess it'll be Pacers. If they're at home, I'd say Pacers by like 3 points probably.
Yeah.
I think
or maybe because of the early kind of like dark horse love for the Nets, it's going to be a lot closer of a line. And
yeah.
it'll
we get 3 points for being the home team, right?
Yes.
So I'd say Pacers by 4 then. I think that's my guess.
You go Pacers minus 4. All right. Yeah. I might I might honestly take the Nets plus 4 then.
All right. Well, are we going to do this? Are we going to like have a rooting interest in this game, in these games as well?
I think if we put money on it, it could be a lot more interesting.
Okay. We're just workshopping the segment on the fly here. So.
You know I love gambling. So
yeah, absolutely. So we will. Do you actually love gambling, or are
yes,
you just,
I am okay. Okay, here's my stance on gambling is I don't spend a lot of money on it. I go for these like parlays of 10 teams for $5 and just try to strike it big. But right. Pro sports, I haven't really gotten into because the lines are so close. It kind of scares me off. But I right. make my money in college football.
All right then. Well, we'll dive into
sport.
It's the best sport, not. anyway, let's wrap things up there, I suppose, if you want to bring us out. But yeah, that's going to be our game we watch for the Hate Watch of the Week, Brooklyn against Indiana on Wednesday night. We'll make picks before, and it'll be a good time. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys. Please do all the internet things that podcasters ask you for, like, download, rate, subscribe. I think that covers all our bases. For Sean, I'm Mitch. This was the first edition of the Hoop Talks podcast. I hope you liked it, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Awesome. Good stuff, dude.
I think that wasn't bad.
I think that was pretty good.